Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Are you going through menopause or perimenopause? Then you know it can be a struggle to find comfort in your body. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's a phenomenon. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, bloating and gas. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of those. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CHAT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CHAT for 15% off today.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 433.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm bringing you another of the live conversations that were recorded at Psychotherapy Networker back in March in partnership with PESI. And my guest today is Dr. Shauna Murray Brown, LCSWC. Dr. Shauna Murray Brown is an organizational strategist and healer, cultural historian, womanist scholar, transformational speaker, and keeper of sacred space for leaders of color globally. She's the principal consultant at Kindred Wellness, LLC, and trained as an integrative psychotherapist. In her hometown of Baltimore City, Dr. Shauna is known for holding healing circles to equip Black families and change makers with the tools to heal themselves. Others know her best for her training intensive, Decolonizing Therapy for Black Folk, where she co-creates space for deconstructing and reimagining mental health care as we know it. That's where I learned of her work. Dr. Shauna works at the intersection of grassroots movements, institutional change, and embodied ancestral wisdom. Intuitive, authentic, and high energy, she pulls from over 14 years of experience in mind-body medicine and mental health care to accompany executives in transcending historic and modern-day trauma. She guides organizations in creating affirming practices, policies, and environments for Black, Brown, and Indigenous people everywhere. Dr. Shauna was named by the Huffington Post as one of the 10 Black female therapists you should know, featured in the PBS special Mysteries of Mental Illness, and was a 2-time guest on the popular Therapy for Black Girls podcast. She completed her doctorate at the University of Maryland School of Social Work, where she earned her Master of Social Work. She also earned a Bachelor of Science in Criminology and Family Science from the University of Maryland College Park, and she serves on the advisory board of Collectively, the Trauma-Informed Care Task Force for the City of Baltimore, and is a former Minority Fellow for the Council on Social Work Education and SAMHSA. Dedicated to continued growth, her practice of Qigong, African spiritual traditions, and sitting at the feet of elders maintain. She lives in Baltimore with her husband and her 7-year-old daughter, and that beautiful introduction barely captures the essence of the person I interviewed on this podcast episode. Being in her presence is just very powerful because she feels so grounded to sit with. And I feel like even in the tone of her voice, the sound of her speaking is very grounding and soothing. So I hope you will enjoy listening to our conversation. We talked about her work, her course, Decolonizing Therapy for Black Folks, our healing journeys in the deconstructing process, which is a lifelong process. And she talks about how she works with organizations and leaders. It's not so much what is being said, but what you feel during this conversation. That's all I can say. Maybe that's how it was for me. So I hope you'll enjoy my conversation with Dr. Shauna Murray Brown, LCSWC. Oh, I need to let you know that we had some technical issues during the recording, which I didn't realize until I came back from the conference and found out that our audio and video, our mics weren't working as much as we had tested them before we started. They conked out immediately once we started recording. So the start of this conversation sounds a little abrupt. It was live, and that's what we were talking about when we started. So just, you know, keeping it real. And I'm very grateful again to Dr. Shauna Murray Brown for being my guest today. And I hope you will be inspired to go deeper as you listen to this conversation.
Live. This is live. With the question about being connected to the ancestral ways, the indigenous practices that African people have had. Can you talk a little bit about like that idea that it's gone and how people can
reconnect
with that?
Yeah. So I think that something helpful to sort of set the stage for is oftentimes when we talk about indigenous ways, you know, that is rooted in a particular location, right? So because we're here in the United States, otherwise and more originally known as Turtle Island, and specifically Piscataway, Conoy, well, when we're at home,
yes,
Piscataway, yeah. Conoy, right? When we're talking about the indigenous peoples, we're talking about the indigenous peoples of that particular land. What I came to explore more deeply when I had a great grand time in my doctoral studies, sarcasm there. What was it that, you know, all original peoples are indigenous to land. So for people of African descent, my ancestors were indigenous to the continent of Africa. Some know of specific areas or not, right?
Yeah.
But we were indigenous people displaced, right? Okay. And there's a particular way that systems of oppression erased or sought to destroy our concept and notion of our own identity, our connection to the land, our connection to our concept of spirituality. And so for people of African descent and African American specifically, where usually my studies would start at the continent, I challenged myself to study, well, what about however long African Americans have been here on this land? What were our original healing ways? And so I would actually argue, Laura, that they're not forgotten, but because we still engage in them, sometimes unintentionally, unknowingly. And so how do we reclaim them and remember them in an astute kind of position and in a way that acknowledges both the history and our modern time? And an example of that might be when we talk about our relationship to the land, right? So my dissertation, I just finished school in May, so it's fresh on my mind. My dissertation was illuminated an opportunity for folks to be able to illuminated the opportunity for folks to be able to connect and commune and remember through the use of oral histories. Mm-hmm. So my study was about what were the experiences of Black women, advocates and activists in the civil rights movement, what were their perspectives about healing, spirituality, and religion? And so these oral histories I sat with allowed me to really almost like sit at the feet of elders, because all of these women were 75 to 81 at the time of interview, right? These were interviews from the 1970s and 80s that I was analyzing in modern day to make sense of. And what really came up for me was this notion of connecting with the land. One woman in my study, her name was Pleasant Harrison, or Ms. Pleasant Harrison, because she was an elder at the time of interview. I'm not going to disrespect her. But she was an herbalist, right? She was a medicine woman. She tended to the land. She communicated with the land. She made medicine for the people and community. In her oral history, she talked about how she sat with folks that were sick, even if she was sick too. She talked about navigating an oppressive healthcare system when she was diagnosed with cancer, and healing herself when they told her that her life would end. She talked about the concoction that she made use of and the practices that she recalled from her great-grandmother and grandparents to be able to heal herself. But when we think about like that story of Pleasant Harrison, who was an elder in the 1970s and 80s, who is now transitioned, and we can apply those same insights to African Americans present day and modern day that are trying to remind us to reclaim our connection to the land, to listen to the earth, to honor and interrupt and contribute to the reversal of global warming through our practices and behaviors, right? And so these are things when folks are drinking teas, or there's a saying in the African-American community around the use of like cutting an onion and putting it in your sock to absorb to absorb illness. Or, you know, if you spend enough time on TikTok or, or Instagram, you might hear stories about, you know, granny telling you to drink some ginger ale when you're sick and go lay down, right? These notions are our way of trying to remember and remembering certain snippets. And my work is to help us expand our remembering and to relearn and recommune so that they're not forgotten as younger generations come up.
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing you say is that there's like fragmented aspects of these traditions and practices that are still there, but people may not know why they do it, and, you know, or they may not really understand how it relates, or they think that it's just like what their mom did or what their grandma did.
Mm-hmm. Without rhyme or reason.
Yeah. Right?
And so when we apply that to the therapeutic experience, or like what I'm sharing here as Psychotherapy Networker, is to help folks, even many people had no concept or idea or seldom have any understanding of what of Black history in the terms of actual human beings, right?
Right.
We're so disconnected. And so when
I am history.
Exactly. And so when I hold space for psychotherapists to be able to recommune with these ideas, I'm also inviting them to recommune with the ideas of their own lineage that they may have been invited to forget, right? Because capitalism doesn't want us connected to the land, right? I sat with my daughter really maybe a couple of weeks ago when we were doing Starting Our Seeds. And when I was teaching her, she was like, oh, mommy, this watermelon seed came from a watermelon. Yes, honey. It can regenerate itself, right? There's a way where we can connect on this connection to the land. We can connect it from our own lineage history, wherever we come from. And then we can have a greater respect for the wisdom that's held closely by folks of African descent. So then if you were my therapist and you're holding space for me, and either I'm coming in saying that I want to, you know, do something completely holistic, you can hold space for me in a way that is respectful and honorable and almost even invitational for me to even explore what does that mean for me and my identity and my lineage history and my healing journey and process, right? We're bringing in other beings, right? Other spirit energies, other wisdoms into the therapy space. And that helps us to transcend the impacts of trauma.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And we went there at the end, and then I was like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, what I know of your work is limited because I like to tell on myself. And I'll say, yes, like I did buy your course in 2020 and I started it. I loved it and I didn't finish it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going back to it.
Come on.
I'm just saying that. I'm saying that for everyone to hear. So I don't want to act like I really know everything you teach. And that was in 2020 and we're in 2024 now. I'm sure everything's evolving that you do. But I want to say that one thing that I really learned from your course that was deeply impactful for me was that white people also have roots, you know, white people like think, oh, I'm just a bland.
Like, you don't have an identity.
Nothing. Yeah. And really, you said, research your roots, research where your people came from. And for me, that was something that like took me on a direction that was so important to my life. And, you know, now I feel like I would have thought before starting your course that I don't have any ancestors. We don't have ancestors. I don't know my culture. Like my people are from Ireland, but I didn't need to know that.
I'm glad you know it now.
I mean, and it's like obvious when I have red hair, but I mean, if your family doesn't talk about it and they didn't know, you know, it's just amazing. And that's the effect of colonization is strip culture. And people are forced to assimilate for survival. And it strips.
And it is true.
Connection.
It does strip connection. And the one of the underlying things that I really try to embed in all of my work is and a reason why so many people, right, have to start and stop and come back to the work because it's really intense. I think, first of all, I think that people don't realize how emotional contending with or sitting with and learning about the colonial history of our field when you, me, and so many have committed themselves to being helpful and nourishing and engaging. And then to find out, oh, snap, this too, this is tainted too.
Yeah.
So that
rings very true.
Yeah. Like a lot of folks go through several almost identity crises when they're communing with such tough work related to decolonizing their concept of self, their work, their relationship to their life and relationships to their to the land. And so with that, one of the underlying pieces of my work is in order for us to do any transformational or liberatory work, in order for us to embody a notion that is healing oriented for our clients, we have to do the work for ourselves. Yes. I remember maybe I probably said it a million times in my training, Decolonizing Therapy for Black Folk, that the intention is to support you in having the eyes to see. That when you are moving and walking in your day-to-day life, not just when you're holding space for a client, that you can see the remnants of both real history that has been disappeared and colonial rule. That way you can make a decision to change as an entire human being and not just, you know, whenever you're seeing yourself.
So I could be more effective with my clients.
Right. No, right. It's so you can be a better human being. It's so that we can ensure that we're really grounding and rooting in a future where we're here, where everyone is here and we're able to co-create another reality. Right. Because once you start to see, it's like the Matrix, you know?
I know.
It's like the Matrix. And it's so, if we're doing it right, we're feeling. Right. And we're doing it right. We're crying. If we're doing it right, we're raging. And then we have to get back in our body so that we can keep going.
Right. Because we can't let shame shut us down in that process. Well, and I will say that I was very surprised. I had like a body response in that course where I was like, why am I feeling like this? And it was very nonverbal. I feel like it was some transgenerational stuff in addition to my present life. But last summer I went to England and I have been there one time before when I was a teen. That's a long time ago. But I went last summer and I was like, I didn't experience it the way I thought I would. I felt uncomfortable being there. And I felt like, oh my gosh. And I think being in a different country where you're seeing things sort of with fresh eyes instead of here where like you go to Target. Like, you know, there's just, there's a world that's kind of focused around shopping and buying stuff.
Same over
and
one thing.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And then also like continuously working the hustle culture, productivity culture to exist.
Yeah.
But there I was like kind of horrified about just seeing everywhere these symbols of colonization and imperialism. And it was like, this is why this is here. Like, here's us, the US, and there's England. And this is where it came from. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, it's like, I couldn't look at the palaces and be like, oh, it's so beautiful, right? I was like, ooh, blood on their hands. You know, I just felt like really, and I credit your course and other work I've been doing for why I noticed it that way, but it was so uncomfortable. Yeah. I would rather have not felt that, except I don't want to like go back to sleep and not know how things really are, because then I'm unconscious and I'm just continuing to perpetuate that internalized colonization. So,
and this is the challenge that I have as a person that does hold space for folks and that my name Johnny. And as a person that, like, I also hold space for executives that run health and human service organizations. I hold space for folks that are just social justice oriented and many organizations. And the challenge is that the information is really like just the beginning of the process. The journey is lifelong.
Right.
And it's really about gathering the tools and resources, right? Getting some language to be able to talk about it and then figure out what does it mean to embody this work, right? And it is a life work.
Right.
It is a life's work. It's so
It's not like you take that course and go, okay.
No.
I'm good now. No.
In fact, it's like most
complete
people
lifestyle
and they're
change.
Like, okay, Shauna, what else? You know what I mean? Like, how do I do this now? And that has really been my work now, right? Trying to listen and contemplate and reflect on the feedback that I've had from the thousands of people I've had the honor of maturing into this knowing. Right. Thank you.
Thank thousands you. Of people.
Yes.
Sorry, that's a big deal.
Thank you. Yeah, I try not to take it lightly, but for me, it feels like a huge responsibility around, okay, how do I not leave so many folks hanging?
Yeah.
Right? Because it is mesmerizing. It is soothing almost to take the training, get the CEs, and go back to business as usual.
Right?
And so my work has been, okay, how can I reconfigure my work? What kinds of spaces can be cultivated to support people in returning to presence, to help them to recommune and reestablish a relationship with taking their socks off, taking their shoes off, and getting their feet dirty, of putting in their hands in the ground, of being quiet long enough to recognize that this is just one path to their soul sort of transformation. And that has been my greatest challenge. Like, figuring out and not being overwhelmed.
Right. It's a huge task.
Things. Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm going to take it slow. The therapists that come to Psychotherapy Network, oftentimes they don't know what they're getting into when they come into my session. And I love that for them. I do, because it means they're open enough to contend with something new. And usually, you know, it might take them a couple years, but they come back, you know, and they're like, okay, what's Dr. Shauna doing now?
Oh my gosh. I thought, oh, a couple of years. And I'm like, oh, damn, I bought that training in 2020.
Yeah.
It's 2024. Right here. Yes.
How am I judging? Real. Time is real, right? It's about our
Well, it's the process and the amount of time it takes you.
Because life be life-in. Okay.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And we can't, you know, judge ourselves based off of like what the pace and timing is.
The Institute for Creative Mindfulness is the EMDR therapy training brainchild of Dr. Jamie Marich, a clinician and author who's on a mission to confront stigma around mental health, trauma, and dissociation. The Institute, informed by Jamie's work, teaches a somatic, expressive, bottom-up approach to EMDR therapy that does not treat dissociation like a dirty word. ICM empowers their students to navigate dissociation as a normal response to trauma and stress when it shows up. Dr. Jamie Marich is out and proud on various levels about her own recovery and is a strong believer in the healing capacities of EMDR therapy and helping our clients to heal from the impact of trauma. I and two of my team members have been trained by the Institute for Creative Mindfulness directly with Jamie, and I was impressed with how dissociation really was treated as just a normal aspect of trauma therapy work, which it is. Both Jamie and the consultants were matter of fact about if and when dissociation arises, it's okay, it's normal, and here's how you can help the client in that situation. The Institute for Creative Mindfulness is offering a coupon code to save 15% off any program offered by ICM. This includes their EMDR therapy basic training programs and a wide variety of their home study, advanced topics, and other CE offerings. Go to instituteforcreativemindfulness.com and use promo code 15OFF for listeners. There's a link in the show notes. You can copy the promo code and use the link right there in the show notes to make it easy.
Sometimes it's the small actions we take that make big differences in our lives. Noticing glimmers can make such a change in my mood to say, what else is here? And I can always notice other things that give me that little positive spark in my life, and they kind of stitch together in the day to change my whole outlook. One small change that has big benefits is taking care of your gut health to support whole body well-being. Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. I like taking Seed because it's portable, it doesn't have to be refrigerated, it's easy to incorporate into my daily routine, and it makes me feel better just knowing I'm taking it. Trust your gut with Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/living and use code 25LIVING to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/living. Code 25LIVING.
You have a beautiful way of, holding space is almost not the adequate word, but you just have a beautiful way of making it okay to not know and to learn. It's more than compassionate. It's like, you're a teacher. That's not all you do. But the way you are as a teacher is like, hey, this is just how it is. We're just doing this.
It's hard. Because it's hard out here. It is. And I'm learning too, right? Like I always remind, I have to rewatch my own content to help me reprocess, right? Every time you might read a book and then you read it again and then you read it again. And every time you read it, you get something new out of it. The same, like oftentimes I'm creating what I wish I had, right? I remember being in an MSW program, being really pissed off about what wasn't there. Why didn't we learn about Ida B. Wells? Why didn't we understand or notice these complexities? And so it just required me to get to a point where I would stop fussing about it and I would start creating something to solve the problem. But that meant that I had to usher myself through that journey, right? And so I'm just sharing what I'm first communing with myself. I don't know yet what to do to support folks in recommuning with the land is because right now I am recommuting with the land, right? Like right now I'm giving myself the medicine. Right now I'm ensuring that I am communicating with my own ancestors, establishing my rituals, being loving, centered, and understanding. I have to, I took a sabbatical after I finished my doctorate. And then I was like, I'm taking a sabbatical for my sabbatical because now that I'm back, I have to reorient. And that's why I said, no judgment to the long, 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 long road of deconditioning.
It is. It's like deconstructing that internalized
supremacy.
Yes.
For some of us, it's or injected oppression for folks of color often. Yeah. Right.
Like that injected.
Yeah. So in one of the things that I like to share with folks is, for folks that have access to white privilege, you all have been socialized to to be expectant about certain things, not all things, but many things, right? Been socialized to take a supreme position,
yeah,
right? Over and above a self-importance that is inflated, right? Right. And for folks of color, it's been injected in us these ideas of inferiority that can impact the way that we engage with ourselves when we think about ourselves, to demean and diminish ourselves. And so these are lineage traumas, right? That, you know, when I have the honor of holding space with practitioners, it's like to add to their trauma healing toolkit, right? These are other conversations that need to be had. These notions of power dynamics, these notions of entitlement or a lack of boundaries that oftentimes when we look at it from a social perspective, we can understand that these are often the burdens of our ancestors. Thank goodness we can call on them if we believe that we can, right? Depending on what folks' spiritual orientation is. But from my perspective, from the wisdoms of Black healing traditions, I call on my ancestors to be like, y'all really didn't do a good job cleaning this up right here. Woo, you left me a big old bag up to clean up, right? But can you help me now? Like, yeah. So now I have this posse of ancestral communion to support me and lifting this up so I can make it better for my daughter, right? And when we decouple the sort of European or white-centric way of thinking about reality, then we have a lot more support.
Right, because that whole rugged individualist idea where you have to do it on your own, and if it's not working out, you failed, et cetera, doesn't allow for support that, you know.
Seen and unseen,
right?
There and not there. The lack of, the fact that time isn't real, right? Time, we invented this.
Yes, exactly.
To fit into a system of capitalism, it can alleviate some of the stress. You don't have to carry it on your own. It's not your own. It's not only your burden, you know? We're supposed to do it collectively, which is the joy of Psych Networker, right?
Yes.
It's an opportunity to think and struggle with things collectively. And we don't have to do it only in our lifetime, right? We have the lifetimes of our ancestors' wisdom to pull on. And our imagination about the future, which is what liberation is. It's what being liberation focused, my framework, liberation focused healing framework, is about. How can we access a way of being that creates the space for us to imagine a new world? Because if we keep recreating the same thing over and over again, what are we going to get? The same thing.
That's right. I was just going to say the planet's about to blow up, I think. Yeah. But, you know, I know. I don't want to think that way, but I feel like it's
urgent. Well, she might have, Earth might eject us. Yeah. You know, Earth is probably still
might be like, here. Okay.
Earth might still be here, but I would love to handle this world if we don't act right.
That's right.
So
that's right.
It's collective.
Yeah. Well, and it feels like it's not just about the idea of a moment in our culture where everybody said, oh, let's pay attention to Black Lives Matter. You know, it's about, as a human family, do we want to still
be
exist on this planet? Or do we want to just go ahead and destroy it? Because
we're going to.
That's the path that we're on.
Exactly.
But there's power in numbers.
Yeah.
Strength in numbers. And we can change it.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, this is a very helpful conversation, and I really appreciate you. So I have two quick questions that Pessy asked me to include
in
each speaker's interview.
Okay.
And the first one is, I think they're over there, but the first one is, what would be your advice to a new therapist?
Wow. Don't be afraid to ask the tough questions. And if you weren't provided it when you were in school, go figure it out. We have too much technology here to not identify teachers that are going to support you. Don't rely only on your master's level education to guide the rest of your work. A good and sound, ethical, and embodied therapist recognizes that we're always learning and teaching. And so you have to continue that line item on your budget, provided that you have, to invest in education, like coming to psychotherapy, not worker, but also being willing to go deeper, once you come here and you come to a place like Psych Networker and you get to expose to all these amazing minds to honor what feels correct for you and then go deep into it because it'll illuminate a whole nother realm of skill set.
Beautiful. All right. And then the next question is, what would be a sign that people need therapy?
If you're breathing.
That's exactly what I said.
If you are breathing, you're existing in this world.
Yes.
There will come a time where a therapist will be a beautiful person to hold space for you. I think that it really depends on what you feel like you need at the time, because I am not a believer of therapy is always the answer,
right?
But it is an answer for everyone at some point.
We all need it at some point.
So if you are struggling and you've been relying on perhaps your spiritual practice and something is missing, to recognize that we deserve a full team of care, that we were not meant to heal singularly, we were meant to heal collectively. So add a therapist to your team. You might come to go to them for a couple of years. You might take a break, but you want to have them on call just in case you got to go back. But if you're breathing, you need some therapy at some point. Okay. Not all the time, but everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs that.
I agree with you so much. And as you know, we can't ignore the fact that it's not always accessible.
Yeah.
It's not always available, but there's group therapy. There's, you know, there's healing circles. There's a lot of ways.
And there are amazing organizations that commit their entire objective to accessibility. In Baltimore City, where I'm from, there are a ton of organizations that are either providing stipends or subsidies to offset the cost. There's nonprofit organizations that pay for therapy. And I've worked in partnership with many of them so that some of their therapists will have taken decolonizing therapy for Black folk and be accessible. And so, yeah, let's not to be discouraged, but if you can't afford it right now, it's cool. You do some community works, get access to community healing resources, and you'll find some resource if you're persistent, because people are out here asking for the support you need.
Yeah. The Baltimore community is an example of a place where in the public eye, in the general public of the United States, a lot of people have a negative impression of Baltimore. Yeah. And it's a place where there's so much beauty and so much strength, and communities that have been there for people have been in the same community for generations. Yes. And there's a really rich fabric.
There's a person that started as a grassroots organizer and community healer. There are a wealth of organizations. Can I name one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. So a few of my favorites, you know, and I'm just moderately biased because I'm on the board, but Collectively is an organization that specifically funds and resources Black-led initiatives. So when I'm talking about Collectively as a nonprofit, it's a place-based organization. Collectively, not spelled correctly. I'll share it with you.
So okay.
You can put it in the show notes.
Collectively
is a hub and a resource for Black-led initiatives far and wide so that we can continue to sustain and provide whatever resources they're providing in the Black community for free or low cost. And then my other favorite organization is actually the Pro Bono Counseling
Center.
Yeah, like the fact that you can access free therapy is really helpful, and they value diversity. And so they want to ensure that no matter your walk, whatever the particular need that you have, if you need a specific faith orientation or racial orientation or sexual orientation, to know that you can gain access there. So yeah, folks tend to have a pretty negative perspective of a lot of predominantly Black environments. And we always have to question why that is, and then go beyond it to get into the community, participate in some things, and just volunteer, you know, take a walk.
Get involved.
Yeah.
Work in a community garden.
I'm saying that there's so many things.
Yeah.
To be able to expand our perspective. So, yeah.
Oh, I just really enjoyed talking with you. And I'm so grateful that you took the time to do this. And so, tell us where people can find everything you do.
Awesome. So if you are looking for an organization to support you in mystifying what decolonization is, demystifying what healing and wellness is in your organization, then kindredwellness.net is the place to go, where myself and my team run a school for liberation-focused healing for organization for leaders and therapists. It's where we provide consulting and executive support for the leaders of our change-making organizations. If you are interested in, if you're specifically interested in oral histories and my research, or if you're a Black person of color leader seeking support and reconnecting to the land, then it's literally my name, ShaunaMurrayBrown.com. You can find me on Instagram at HealAsista, S-I-S-T-A. And when you write my name, don't forget the E. Got it, end of Brown. Oh, I know you know, but see, I always got to tell people so they don't forget.
That's right. Brown with ending in E.
Yes.
And HealAsista.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for spending time with me and us here. And I know your talk is going to be amazing. I wish I would get to see it. I'll have to watch the recording because I'm doing this.
Awesome.
Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.